السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا حيا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صلي وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والشهداء والصالحين وعترة نبيك الطاهرين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. قال الله في كتابه الحكيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذا قيل لهم اسجدوا للرحمن قالوا وما الرحمن، أنسجد لما تأمرنا، وزادهم نفورا. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
It has been suggested that the revelation of chapter 55, Surah Ar-Rahman, was based on a verse found earlier in the Quran, and that is chapter 25, Surah Al-Furqan, verse 60. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ أَنَسْجُدُ لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in conversation that the Prophet had with the disbelievers, he brings up, he mentions Ar-Rahman. And we know that when we consider the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those that are manifested within his 99 names, at the forefront is Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus. But Ar-Rahman is at the forefront. So the verse says that this description of God was brought to them. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ. And if it is said to them to prostrate to Ar-Rahman, قَالُوا, they said, وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ, what is this Rahman that you are mentioning? And the reason why that was the case is not because they did not believe in a God, they did believe in a God, but the concept of Rahmah was strange to them. It was not something that was familiar to them. They believed in courage, they believed in generosity, they believed in honor, but the attribute of mercy and compassion was something that was strange. It was unfamiliar to them. It was uncommon. When we want to learn about the Arabs at that time, in 7th century Arabia, in the Arabian Peninsula, before Islam, what tells us about them, mostly, you know, it's not like today, if you'd like to learn about people in history, that there's an actual ledger, a history book that's taught in schools. With them, how did we learn about them? How did we come to know about them? Mostly through their poetry. Their poetry became a primary source of us understanding what they believed in, what was important to them, what they honored, what mattered to them the most. And if you study that material, you don't find the word rahmah. You don't find the word mercy. You don't find the word compassion. So when the Prophet described to them God, and when he mentioned Ar-Rahman, their natural reaction was to ask, وَمَا الرَّحْمَانِ? What is this Rahman that you are speaking about? أَنَسْجُدُ لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا. And because it was something that was so unfamiliar, something that was so strange to them, it increased them in their aversion. وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا. Meaning that it had the opposite intended reaction. They found themselves distancing. The more they came into reaction with these terms and these concepts, the more they found themselves averse. The more they found themselves distancing themselves from it. It's interesting. There's a narration that tells us about the state of a believer and the state versus the state of a disbeliever. And that's, you know, it's manifested in a story that took place during the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, in that there was a gentleman who had committed a crime, and that crime had merited punishment for him. And the punishment was to be carried out by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this man was a good man. He was a lover of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. He loved Imam Ali alayhi salam, but he knew that he was guilty and that the punishment needed to be carried out. So after the punishment was carried out, long story short, he came running back to the Imam. And people were sort of surprised by this. That, you know, how do you go back to a person that has just carried out a punishment? I mean, if, say, the judge has sentenced you for something, does it make sense for you to go back and befriend that judge or love that judge or embrace that judge? It didn't make sense to them. But when he did that, Imam Ali alayhi salam turned to the companions and he told them, he reminded them of something that the Prophet had said to him many years earlier. He told him that, Ya Ali, there are people that even if you were to strike them, and this is Arabic terminology, if you were to strike them on their nose, meaning if you were to strike them down and kill them, it would do nothing but increase their love for you. Their love and their respect and their admiration would not decrease because they have that intrinsic love and that respect and that loyalty. And he says there are people, this is the Prophet telling Imam Ali alayhi salam, that they're on the other end of the spectrum. That even if you were to feed them honey, you know, in the Quran and in Arabic literature and poetry, honey is one of those favored items, consumables. That even if you were to feed them pure honey, it would do nothing but increase in their spite and their animosity and their aversion to you. Meaning that their disloyalty is something which is ingrained in them. On the other end, there are people that the love is ingrained in them so much that even if you were to punish them, even if you were to distance yourself from them, it would only increase in their love and their loyalty for you. So for these Arabs, they heard rahmah, they heard the word compassion, they heard the word mercy, but the Quran says it did nothing but create more aversion and more spite and more animosity. أَنَسْجُدُ لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا. So some commentators then said that chapter number 55, which is Surah Al-Rahman, came as a response to this inquiry. وَمَا الرَّحْمَانِ? What is this Rahman? What is this compassionate Lord that you speak about? And that's why Surah Al-Rahman begins with the first word, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ar-Rahman, the compassionate. And then from verse 2 to verse 25 explains who is this Rahman that we speak. What are the characteristics of the Rahman? Ar-Rahman, 'allama al-Qur'an, as a sign of his compassion, as a sign of his mercy. 'Allama al-Qur'an, he taught the Qur'an. He created and he revealed and he taught the Quran. And then number two, خلق الإنسان, he created man. So his creation of man is a sign of his compassion. Number three, علمه البيان. He taught him speech. Bayan is not just any speech, but it is clear and concise speech. Speech which is understood. Speech that is communicated clearly. Those are the signs of his compassion. And by the way, there's, as you all know, there is a difference between Rahman and Rahim. Even though God is referred to by both attributes and characteristics, but there is a distinction, there is a difference between Rahman and Rahim. That's why it's really not repetitive when we say Bismillah in the name of God, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. It's not a, you know, some form of redundancy that it's repeated twice. They both refer to Rahmah, which is mercy. But the difference is that when you say Rahim, Rahim refers to a type of mercy that everybody has. A father has mercy towards his children. A mother has mercy towards her children. Spouses have mercy upon one another. Siblings have mercy with one another. But Rahman refers to a level above. And even the word compassion doesn't really give the word Rahman its due meaning and its due purpose. But to illustrate what Rahman means, what type of mercy that is, it is said that one day the Prophet was walking by a lady who had her child with her. And this lady noticed the Prophet, so she stopped the Prophet to inquire and ask him about the extent of the mercy of God. Because the Prophet, again, the attributes that he taught of God that were at the forefront were what? Mercy. That's the number one attribute. Before generosity, before his ability to create, before his ability to give life and take life, number one is mercy, Rahman. So she asked him, she said, Ya Rasulallah, what is this? What's the extent of this mercy that you're talking about? And as she was asking the Prophet, she had her child with her, and she was preparing a flame, a fire, in order to, in order to prepare some food. So the Prophet turned to her, and he said, O lady, he says, to illustrate this question and answer your question that you've asked, he says, what would you do if this child of yours, this baby, began to crawl towards this fire? She says, I mean, you know, that's it goes without saying, Ya Rasulullah, of course I would toss myself, I would place myself in harm's way in order to save my child, my baby. He said, that's mercy. She said, yes, that's mercy. He says, the extent of that mercy, God is more favorable and more merciful towards us than you are towards your child. It extends even beyond that. It extends beyond what we would think of and imagine as reason. You know, we talk in terms of reason, what is reasonable and what's not reasonable. When we talk about generosity, we say, you know, this person's being unreasonable. Well, that whole measure of reasonable and unreasonable, usually when we are measuring attributes, it's based on what human beings normally do and what they don't do. But when you're talking about God, you're talking about a different level altogether. So what may seem unreasonable in our eyes fits perfectly with the character of God. Because the relationship between God and man is different than the relationship between man and other men, and woman and other women, of course. And look at what the Quran says for that specific example. It says that even that mother that is so merciful and so compassionate towards her child, and so protective of her child, what does she do on the Day of Judgment? يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَدْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضَعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. On that day, you will find that the nursing mother, out of shock, and out of fear, and by being overwhelmed, will toss her child that she is nursing. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضَعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَ. You look to the people, and it's as if they're intoxicated. If you've seen an intoxicated person, they don't know what direction they're going in. They have no idea what's going on. An intoxicated person even loses the ability to control themselves physically, if you know what I mean. They're unable to control the basic things that it's like they go back to a state of being a baby. That they have no idea what's going on in the world. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. But indeed they are not intoxicated. And even in those moments, who does a person turn to? You don't turn to your mother or your father. Because another verse in the Quran says that on that day, people will turn away and run away from their own parents. A father from a son. A brother from a brother. A tribesman from another tribesman. And so that mercy that we talk about, the compassion, is something which is boundless. It's something which is limitless. So Surah Ar-Rahman essentially is an answer to all of that. Ar-Rahman, this Rahman that you ask about. When they say, Wama Ar-Rahman, when they say to the Prophet, who is this Rahman? Who is this compassionate being that you speak of? He says, the answer is, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. Out of his compassion is that he taught you the Qur'an. He revealed to you the Qur'an. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. He created the human being. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. He taught him speech. Clear, concise speech. Until verse 25. Now, I want to fast forward a little bit to verse 17. Because this is a question that comes up sometimes. Verse 17 says, describes the compassionate Lord as رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ. He is the Lord of the two Mashriq and the two Maghrib. What does that refer to? Mashriq refers to where the sun rises from. Shuruq means the rising specifically of the sun. Mashriq, the place of the rising. Maghrib is the place of Gharaba. Gharaba means to set. So the place where the sun rises and the place where the sun sets. But two of those, so the place of two sunrises and the place of two sunsets, what is that? So we have, on planet Earth at least, we imagine that there's one sunrise and one sunset. Now, because, you know, we've created this idea of direction, that there's north, east, west, and south, and much of that is very relative. So if you look at a map of the world created here in the Western world, or what we call the Western world, or in the United States, It looks a certain way, but you go to different parts of the world and it's flipped upside down, where their countries are on top and we're on the bottom. So the sense of direction that we get is that the sun rises in what we know as the east and it sets in what we know as the west. But the Quran says, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ. So there are two, as if the Quran is saying there are two easts and there are two wests. What does that mean? Commentators say the following. Is that if you look at where the sun rises in the summer versus where it rises, the exact location, if you pinpoint that, where it rises in the summer versus where it rises in the winter, it's completely different. And the same goes for where it sets. It sets in a different place in the sky in the summer versus a different place in the winter. So what's being said here is that all of that, no matter what, where the sun rises from, and no matter where it sets, and everything in between, your compassionate Lord is the Lord of all of that. It's control of all of that. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the favors of your Lords, of your Lord, do you both deny? And the both here are human beings and jinn. They are the ones that are being referred to in this chapter. And that verse, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, is repeated 31 times throughout that chapter, Surah Ar-Rahman. مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان. He mixed the two seas such as they meet one another. Between them lies a barrier that they transgress not. And the meaning of that verse, there's a number of commentaries that suggest, but one is a particular commentary. It says the following. It says that what's meant by the two seas that come together, and that there being a barrier in between them, is that each ocean represents one type of knowledge. You have religious knowledge on one end, and you have spiritual knowledge on the other end. And the barzakh, which is the barrier between the two, is what? What becomes the mediator between religious knowledge and spiritual knowledge, because we spend much of our life as students of knowledge, as students at least of Islamic knowledge, trying to pursue both and trying to create balance between the two and mediation between the two. Religious knowledge on one side and spiritual knowledge on the other side. What's the mediator? What mediates between? What creates balance in between? It's mentioned in our narrations. In fact, when you open up our major books of hadith, it's the first thing that's mentioned in the hadith. It's the aql, the intellect. The aql, your intellect, is a barrier, it's a mediator between spiritual knowledge and religious knowledge, so that one does not transgress over the other, so that there is a balance between the two. Why? Because some people, have you seen, they have too much religious knowledge. And some people have too much spiritual knowledge. So much so that they begin to lose out on common sense. And the aql represents common sense. Have you noticed in some places people are, the guy's just got too much religious knowledge. And some people have too much spiritual knowledge. It's in an excess. But the mediator, the balance, is aql, having common sense. So that there's a balance between the two. I'll narrate to you this narration, and this is actually the first narration which is found in the book Usul al-Kafi. Usul al-Kafi is, in the Ahlul Bayt school of thought, is the premier book on the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And this is found in Kitab al-Aqli wal-Jahl, the book of, or the chapter rather, of intellect and ignorance. And it's the first hadith, and it says the following. It's narrated from Abi Ja'far alayhi salam, who is the fifth imam, al-Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. He says the following, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the aql, it was one of the first things that he created. He said, لما خلق الله عز وجل العقل, when God created the aql, the intellect, استنطقه, meaning that he spoke to it, and he made it speak to him and answer. ثم قال له, he said to the عقل, أقبل فأقبل, ثم قال له أدبر فأدبر, ثم قال وعزتي وجلالي ما خلقت خلقا هو أحب إلي منك ولا أكملتك إلا في من أحب, أما إني إياك آمر وإياك أنهى وإياك أعاقب وإياك أثيب. When God created the عقل, the intellect, as the creator, he examined it. In the same way that when you put something together, when you create something, before putting it out there, you examine it. When a company creates a product, they don't just throw it out into the market. They examine it and see if it works. He examined it. He said to it, come forward. And it came forward. Then he said to it, to the aql, go back. And it went back. Then he said to it, once he saw that it was in working order, that it came forward and it went back. Then he said to it, by my power and my majesty, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي, I did not create anything that is dearer to me than you, more beloved to me than you. So God is saying, my most beloved thing that I've created in this world is what? Aql. And with that aql, we mediate between religious knowledge and spiritual knowledge. I will not perfect you except in one whom I love. So, when God loves somebody, truly, a sign of that love is He gives him perfection in his intellect. He gives him perfection in his aql. Meaning that He gives him some common sense. He gives him some vision. He gives him the ability to see things clearly, to distinguish between right and wrong. That's a sign of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, through you are my orders and prohibition addressed. Meaning that the orders, the commands of God, and the prohibitions that we take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are only addressed towards the aql. So some people, and this brings the legal discussion, that if a person does not have aql, a person does not have intellect, then the commands and the prohibitions of God do not apply to that person. And for you, my rewards and retributions are reserved. So the better the aql, the better the reward. The worse the aql, the worse the retribution. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His compassion and His mercy that he perfects our aql in this month, in the month of Sha'ban, in the coming month, the month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفائه وأوصيائه وأهل بيته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله, أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. So to continue our discussion on compassion, one narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the following, and this is found in the book Bihar al-Anwar. It says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ارحموا عزيزا ذل or عزيزا ذل. So the Prophet is talking about three types of people that we should direct our mercy and our compassion towards. ارحموا عزيزا ذل وغنيا افتقر وعالما ضاع في زمان جهال. So be compassionate, show your love and your compassion and your mercy towards three types of people. Now this doesn't mean that it's exclusively for these three types of people and nobody else. This is a prime example of who we should look towards to be merciful towards. Number one is azizan zal or azizan dhul, a mighty person, a person of izz which has been dishonored. That izz has been taken away from them. Their honor has been taken away from them. For instance, someone who is a refugee, who had a place and who had a position, and all of that was taken away from them. That's one type of person. Another type of person, وَغَنِيًّا iftaqar. Now usually when we say the word غني, we think of richness in monetary terms. But غني does not necessarily mean richness in monetary terms. Any person who was rich in some way, had something and that was taken away from them, then they became in need, iftaqar. Iftaqar, that is from faqir. Faqir is a person who is in need. Versus ghani, a person who is not in need. So a rich person who has become poor or has been deprived of that thing. And number three, وَعَالِمًا ضَاعَ فِي زَمَانِ جُهَالِ, a scholar who has been forgotten amidst a generation of ignorant people. Sometimes, because of just the critical mass of ignorant people, the sheer volume and amount of ignorant people, that the knowledgeable people and the scholars get lost in their midst. And the narration says that if you were to find a person who truly has knowledge or a type of wisdom, and they're lost because they just happen to be amidst or among a group of ignorant people, show mercy and show kindness and show compassion towards that person. Why? Because it's very, very tough for a person of knowledge, of hikmah, of wisdom, to live among people who are ignorant, people of no knowledge. So have compassion and mercy for those three types of people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He shower us with His compassion and His mercy in this month and the coming month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to all of those worldwide who are in need of our help and in need of our supplication. I'll just end with a few announcements. Of course, tonight we have the First Fridays event. Our youth have a First Fridays event. We have a panel of four of our sisters who are speaking on the topic of mental health awareness. So please.